All right, turn to Luke chapter 15. This is the final message in a kind of a mini series that we did for 3 weeks on It Feels Like Home, We're a Family. And what we've been doing is filling in the statement, we're a family, with two words. And the first word begins with an E. So the first week it was, we're a family encountering God. Last week it was, we're a family enjoying life. And this week, the two words that you fill in, we're a family embracing people. Embracing people. Now, I want to tell you something about Gateway Church that you probably already know, but if you don't know, I want you to know. Here's what I want you to know about Gateway Church. I love Gateway Church. I love it. And the reasons, I have several that I love it, but several of the reasons are because we are loving people. I like that. I like that we're not prideful, that we're not arrogant, that we're not haughty, that we don't have a holier-than-thou attitude, that we are humble, we are transparent. Isn't that something to say? We're humble. I'm proud of it, too, how humble we are. But there is a humility. Do you sense that? There's a humility and a transparency here and a kindness toward all people. We're all about people because God is all about people. And I like that. I love that spirit, that atmosphere that's here. It's a love atmosphere. It's an accepting atmosphere. Well, that's what I want to talk about this week, that we're a family that embraces people, embracing people. And I want to use this passage in Luke 15. It's a very well-known passage, and it's a lengthy passage, so we're not going to read the whole passage, but on each point, we'll go back and pick up parts of it. But most of us are familiar with this passage. Let me just summarize it for you. There was a father who had two sons, and the younger son said, hey, give me my inheritance early. And so the father divides the inheritance, and then as soon as he does, I mean, the Bible says not many days after, the young son goes and spends it all on wasteful living. That's where we get the word prodigal. The word prodigal means wasteful living. And he sins, he goes into sin, he goes into debauchery, all of these things. Finally, all the money runs out, so he ends up working for a farmer, slopping the hogs, just taking care of hogs. And he's starving himself. He has no money. And he just finally comes to himself, the Bible says, and says, you know, even the guys that work for my dad are better off than I am. And I'm going to go back and say, God, Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. And I'm not even worthy to be called your son, but make me as a servant. And as he's coming down the road, the father sees him, runs to him, puts his arm around him, stops him from making a speech. He gets about halfway through a speech. You can read it later. He gets halfway through, and the father stops him and throws a party for him. And the older brother then comes in from working in the field and says, what's going on? What's the party for? And one of the servants says, it's your younger brother. Your younger brother's returned. And the older brother gets angry, says, I'm not going in. And the father comes out and says, what do you mean you're not going in? My son was lost and he's found again. It's only right. And the older son says, you never did anything like this for me. And you love him more. And he just gets all upset about it. Now, the reason Jesus tells the story is because in the first part of Luke 15, the sinners and prostitutes and tax collectors and very sinful people don't go to church. They always come to Jesus. They always got around him. And the Pharisees and the religious leaders were upset. And so that's why he tells this story. It's actually one of three, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost sheep, and the parable of the lost son. But there are four attitudes in the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son that we call it, that I want us to talk about. It's very important. Two of these attitudes we want to guard against. We don't want to have two of them. Two of the attitudes we want to guard. In other words, we want to keep these attitudes here at Gateway Church and in our own lives, all right? So let me show you the four attitudes, and then we'll talk about some passages here. Number one is the attitude of the rebellious. The attitude of the rebellious. Now, by the way, there are only three characters in the story. The father, the older son, and the younger son. And so we think about, well, how do you get four attitudes? Well, the way we get four attitudes is the younger son had two attitudes. He had a change of heart or a change of attitude in the middle of the story. So first, he begins with the attitude of the rebellious. Now, look at Luke 15, verse 12. It says, and the younger of these said to the father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood, and not many days after, I want you to notice that phrase, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Now, did you notice the phrase, not many days after? This gives us a clue to the attitude of the rebellious. Let me tell you what not many days after tells me. He was planning it. He had been planning it, and here's what happened. Satan put a seed thought in his mind. You know, if you got your inheritance now, instead of waiting for him to die, while you're young, you could go out and really have a good time. You know what you ought to do is go ahead and ask him, would you go ahead and divide the inheritance, Father? And he came up with this elaborate plan. Now listen to me very carefully. When you begin to plan sin, you're on the road to rebellion. That is what Satan does. And Satan never tells you about the end result. He never told him about the pig pen. He only told him about the fun he was going to have. He never told him about the cost or the consequences. He only told him one step at a time. In essence, it's the same thing he did with Adam and Eve. He said, listen, if you do this, if you eat this, you'll be like God. You'll have something you don't have. He didn't tell him about getting kicked out of the garden. He didn't tell him about a severed relationship with God. He didn't tell him about a curse on their family and on their children. That's what Satan does. So I'm telling you right now, you need to recognize when Satan is telling you how to plan sin and get away with it. Let me tell you something. You'll never get away with it. Amen. You'll never get away with it. So immediately when the plans come into your mind, you've got to stop it right then. Not many days after. And then here's something else about the attitude of the rebellious. This is a seed in the area of rebellion as well. It says, give me what belongs to me. Give me the portion of inheritance, my livelihood that is mine, that falls to me or belongs to me. Now, I want to say something about this. It didn't belong to the son. It belonged to the father. The son had not earned it. As a matter of fact, it really wasn't even the son's inheritance. It was the father's retirement. Because the father had not passed away yet. My father said to me a while back, he was talking about something they were doing, and he said, son, we're spending your inheritance. And I said, Dad, it's not my inheritance. It's your retirement. You've worked hard for it, and I want you and Mom to have a good time. About a year later, I remember I called him back and said, you're having too good of a time. But when we begin to think that something belongs to us, that we are entitled to something, listen to me. The attitude of entitlement is an attitude of rebellion. It belongs to me. And listen, there are those of us even that have worked very hard and God has blessed us, and yet I'm telling you, we still didn't earn it because even the ability to do what we do was given to us by God. Amen. And when we begin to have an attitude of ingratitude, when we become ungrateful people and think that we deserve more, that is the seed of rebellion. I worked for my father when Debbie and I got married. He owned a company, and after a few weeks or months, I can't remember how long, I remember I went into him one day and I said, Dad, I want you to pay me what I'm worth. He said, son, you can't live on that. When we start thinking we're worth more and someone owes us something, listen, that's the seed of rebellion. That's the prodigal son. Give me what belongs to me. It didn't belong to him. So that's the attitude of the rebellious. Number two, the attitude of the repentant. The attitude of the repentant. Look at his attitude, verse 17 through 19. But when he came to himself, what a great phrase. When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. This is repentance. Repentance was he made no excuses, no justification. He didn't go back and say, well, Dad, people, I got in the wrong crowd, wrong influences. They pulled me the wrong way. I want to kind of, I just need to let you know why I did what I did. I was starting to think, and I was a little upset because we didn't go fishing when we were young. And, you know, you were a fairly good dad, but I've gone to a counselor now, and I've learned some things that you didn't do right, and that's what caused me to go off on my own. Stop it. Just stop that. Listen, take responsibility for your sin, for your actions. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm not even worthy to be called your son. Let me tell you what he did in those three statements, those three aspects of the statement. Listen to what he did. Every time you sin, every time we sin against three people. I don't know if you know this or not. Every time we sin against God, we sin against others, and we sin against ourselves. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 6:18 makes it very clear, all sexual sin is a sin against your own body. You sin against your own body when you do that. He said, I've sinned against heaven, I've sinned in your sight, and I'm not even worthy to be called your son. I've sinned against myself. I've done something here. And he made no excuses when he came to repent. Listen, when you begin to excuse and justify, that's not repentance. Repentance is a complete change of heart, a change of mind, a change of direction from the way you were going to a new direction. And I would like to say something else about repentance. Repentance can begin when you get caught. I've heard many people say, well, did he get caught? Well, that's not repentance. Listen to me. Everyone gets caught. Everyone gets caught. Now, maybe no one else caught you and no one came to him, but he got caught by his circumstances. He got caught by his own circumstances. Well, he ran out of money and that's why he went home. That's a great thing. That's what we ought to pray for all prodigals. God, let them come to themselves. Let them come to the end of themselves and come home. Let them see the consequences of their actions before it's too late. Amen. Because all sin has consequences. Here's one of the consequences. It says, verse 14 says, but when he spent all. But when he spent all. Now here's something a lot of people don't realize about the story of the prodigal son. His inheritance was gone. It was gone. He could never, ever get that money back. He could not go to the bar owners and the prostitutes and say, listen, I've repented and I've gone back home. I'm living back with my dad now. And you know that money that I spent when I was here a few months ago? Since I've repented, I'd like that back, please. You may not know this. I'm the prodigal son in the Bible. That's me. You think the bar owners or the prostitutes gave him his money back? No, he's gone. See, all of a sudden, we read the story of the prodigal son and we think, well, everything was fine. Yes, his relationship with his father was restored, but his inheritance was gone. That money was gone. It could never be. Listen to me, sin always costs. Always costs. Always. And when we get caught, repent. Just repent. It's amazing to me how many people get caught and they still deny it. They still won't repent. When I was a young teenager, I did so many stupid things. Sometimes I don't want to tell, but hopefully the teenagers here will understand how stupid these things were. But when I was a teenager, and some of you will remember this, it was like cool and tough to smoke cigarettes. And so I started smoking. And didn't even like it, but just wanted to be cool and tough and accepted and fit in and all. And then one evening I came home from where I'd been. I'm going to tell you where I was. It's going to date me a little bit, but this was the hangout. One evening I came home from the skating rink. Some of you are, I used to go to the skating rink. Okay, you're old too. All right, so I came home and my dad said, son, you smell like smoke. Did you smoke tonight? I said, no, Dad, I didn't smoke. You know the skating rink, and it was a smoky place, and that's why I smell like smoke. I was around other people that smoked, but I didn't smoke. You didn't smoke any? No, sir. Then he pulls this pack of cigarettes out. He said, I found this pack of cigarettes under your mattress. Are these your cigarettes? No, sir. Those are not my cigarettes. I said, so-and-so, one of my friends, asked me to hold them for him so his parents wouldn't find them. And so they're not mine, I'm holding them for him. So he gave these to you at the skating rink to bring home with you from the skating rink. Yes, sir. He said, you see this mark right here, this little ink mark on this package? I put that there before you went to the skating rink. I said, now I remember. He gave those to me at school today and asked me to bring them home, and then he wanted me to bring them to the skating rink tonight, but I did not smoke any. He said, son, I came to the skating rink and watched you smoke 3 cigarettes. I said, that's all I smoked at, though, was just the... Here's the point of that whole story, other than it's funny and stupid. I never repented. See, that's not repentance. Repentance is to take full responsibility for your actions. So the attitude of the repentant. Here's number three, the attitude of the reproacher. The attitude of the reproacher. This is the older brother. Luke 15, verse 29. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment in any way. I just want you to notice the word never. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never, another never, gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my family. Okay. Obviously, the attitude of the reproacher is pride and arrogance and looking down on others that have made mistakes and done things wrong. Obviously. But what is the root of pride? I'm going to tell you the root of pride that many, many people don't realize. It's deception. Anytime you meet a prideful person, you've met a deceived person. He doesn't see himself the way others see him. He doesn't see others the way God sees them. He has a skewed perspective. Here's what this guy said. I want you to think about this. I never, not one time, never transgressed your commandment at any time. Never. Okay, either this guy's Jesus, and he's not, because Jesus is telling the story, or he doesn't see himself accurately. I had a guy say to me actually one time, he said, I've done everything right my whole life, and yet bad stuff still happens to me. Now, if I said to him, do you realize you just told me you did everything right? You've done everything right your whole life. He'd probably say, well, I didn't mean that. But he said it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I'm not putting him down either because I've done stuff like that. I've been deceived. I've not seen myself the way God sees me. And I'm telling you that what happens is when we begin to see ourselves as in our own righteousness and what I've done, we're going to begin immediately to look at what others have done. When we focus on our actions, we're going to focus on others' actions. And all of a sudden, we're not going to be a family that embraces people. We're going to be a family that shuns people and that looks down on people. And that's one thing I love about Gateway Church. We don't have an attitude of reproaching those who are outside, who haven't come in yet, who are still in the pig pen, those who haven't even come to themselves yet. There's a love in our hearts. You never, now listen to me, be careful. We say, we teach people this in marriage counseling. Don't use never and always. You know, he never compliments me. Well, if he's done it one time in 45 years, then you can't say never. Well, I'm always the one to say I'm sorry. You never, I always. Watch out for never and always, because it can reveal the way you actually think about yourself. And then there's another never in here. You never gave me a young goat. You never gave me one goat. Can I show you a verse here? Luke verses 11 and 12. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Now watch this carefully. So he divided to them his livelihood. What? He divided to whom? Them. Both of them. As a matter of fact, the older son, because he was the firstborn, listen to this, he got twice as much. I guess in a way, yes, the father had never given him a goat. He'd given him hundreds of goats. Hundreds. The father even says to him within the passage, son, all that I have is yours. Here's what happens. For many of us, we're walking with the Lord. We've been walking with the Lord for a long time, and we forget that he's given us everything. And we start looking at these new believers that come in and God blesses them and someone gives to the miracle offering for the first time and we hear how they get a raise and we think, well, I gave and I didn't get a raise, but we've gotten lots of raises through the years. We've been blessed many, many times. And we weren't giving to get a raise anyway. We were giving to, because of God's kingdom and because we love him. But the enemy comes in and says, oh, look, look, God's not treating you fairly. And if we're not careful, we have the attitude of a reproacher. Here's the fourth attitude, the attitude of the Redeemer. This is the attitude of the Father, obviously, the attitude of the Redeemer. Look at verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, that's very, very important in this story, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. While he was a long way off, he ran and fell on his neck. Now, first of all, Jewish tradition was that it was shameful for an older man to run. But he throws that aside. And he fell. Now, this, the Greek word here for fell, and I was thinking that word sounds a little wrong, part of this definition, but you'll understand. It means to violently embrace with affection. Now, don't get hung up on the word violently, because I can give you an illustration that'll help you with it. Forcefully. In other words, a bear hug, you know? Not just, he didn't just run up, hey, good to see you, great to see you. You know, the way men hug, you know how men hug, hey. Sometimes I don't do that, I just go, hey. But a bear hug. You know, Debbie and I travel a lot, and many times during the week, I'll be traveling, speaking in a conference or something like that, so we're in airports a lot. And one of our greatest joys, we were in a Colorado airport a while back, and there's a military base there. And some of you have probably seen this. They let the families, you know, of military to come in right by the gate. And you'll see a mother standing there with a small child or something. And that serviceman gets off the plane, and they run. And there is a violent embrace. And they hold each other, and they cry, and they hug each other. That's what this is talking about. That God is standing there waiting, and when he sees you, he is going to run to you. I want you to understand that. If you're a prodigal, if you'll just turn toward him, he'll run to you. If you'll just come to him any at all. That's what I love about Gateway Church. I think we have that same spirit. I don't think there's a rebellious and a reproaching attitude here. I think there's a repentant and a redeeming attitude here. And let me tell you one more thing about this story that you may not know. A story similar to this was a Jewish traditional story. And this story shocked them because of the way Jesus turned the story. The story in the Jewish tradition was that there was a man who had two sons, and one son wanted the inheritance. Gave him his inheritance, he went away, he spent it all, came to the end of himself, came home, and when he came home, the father calls him before the whole city, tells him what he's done, tells all of his sins, lists his sins, and publicly rejects him. And the father is given the party. And he is praised because he's an example of the justice of God. And so Jesus tells this story, and the Pharisees are thinking, we know where this is going. He's telling these sinners that keep coming to him, you're going to be rejected by the Father. Yeah, you come and you're trying to buddy up to him, but God knows who you really are, and he's going to publicly tell everybody your sins. He's going to make a public spectacle of you. Instead, Jesus says the Father runs, greets the Son, and throws a party for the Son. It's a story of God's mercy. But now listen to me carefully. God is still just. So how could God be merciful to us and still be a just God? The reason is God took his own Son and put all of our sins on him and made a public spectacle of him. So that when we turned, he could run to us and welcome us home. Amen. I'm telling you, God loves you. And I love that we have that attitude here and not the other attitude. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? Every one of us have at some time had all four of these attitudes. We've all been rebellious in some area of our life. We've all been repentant. We've all reproached. We've all had prideful or arrogant thoughts. And we've all been redeeming. But what's God saying to you today? South Lake, NRH, Frisco, what's God saying to you? To you. Maybe God is showing you how the enemy is trying to get you to plan sin. And God is saying, please don't do that, because there are consequences if you do. God's not going to reject you, but there are horrible, horrible consequences if you go down that road. Some irreversible. So what's God saying to you? We want to pray for you. If you're going through a difficulty right now, maybe you feel like a prodigal. We want to pray for you. In just a moment, we're going to stand at all of our locations, at every campus. And we're going to stand and we're going to have leaders come to the front. And you don't have to be a member of Gateway Church to come for prayer. If you want someone to pray with you, whether you're at South Lake, North Richland Hills, or Frisco, when we stand up in just a moment, you just stand up, step out, and come to the front. And there'll be leaders at every campus to pray for you. So if you need prayer for any reason at all, as soon as we stand up, you just stand up, step out, and come. Please, listen, don't be embarrassed. Maybe you feel like I'm the prodigal. I'm the one that's gone out and done the wrong stuff. I need to come to God. Listen to me. I promise you. I promise you. If you come to God today, He'll run to you. He'll run to you. The reason that the Father saw him a long way off was because he was looking for him. So if you need prayer for any area of your life, at every campus, as soon as we stand up, just stand up and step out and come. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will draw every person that has any prayer need in Jesus' name. Amen.